You're listening to KLOK, San Jose, San Francisco, Oakland, and the entire Bay Area, a Principal Broadcasting-owned radio station.
Sapne salamat, dosto. Welcome to Jeans, T-shirt, and a Tie, the only Desi talk show of its kind anywhere in the whole world. Have you ever dreamed about starting a business? Then this show is dedicated to you and for you. The show is for entrepreneurs, dreamers, investors, techies, and non-techies. Anyone and everyone that has a dream.
Our host, Rohit Chandra, himself has started several companies in Silicon Valley, raised millions of dollars in equity financing, and has inventions that are currently being used by hundreds of millions of users on the web.
Welcome. My name is Rohit Chandra, and I am the founder of a micro-information service on the web called Rohit.com, a service that I hope will one day transform the way you use the web. Yes, it's called Rohit.com. Tune in to KLOK 1170 every Saturday at noon, and we'll talk about everything it takes to build a company. Idea, recruiting, incorporation, market, bootstrapping, venture capital, intellectual property, and more. Tech businesses and non-tech businesses. We'll hear stories from people like you and me who have done this successfully. Call in and ask specific questions or generic questions and engage in a stimulating discussion about building a company. Sunna na bhuliye, har Saturday, dopehar 12 baje. Every Saturday at 12 noon. Sapne Salamat, dosto. Welcome back. Sapne Salamat. Back to another episode of Sapne Salamat with Rohit Chandra. It is Saturday, it is noon, and it is time to start living out those dreams. So as you know by now, this is a show that's dedicated to anyone with a dream. It's a show for dreamers, investors, technical people, non-technical people, anyone and everyone that has a dream. We are on every Saturday at noon. And I'm really excited because today is the first new day of the rest of my life. As you also know by now, this is a non-commercial show, the singular goal to promote entrepreneurship and help you realize your dreams. So folks, think of this show as a helpline for startups. If you have questions, feel free to call in. Phone number to the studios is 408-912-5565. As always, folks, please, please, please remember to turn your radio down when you call. And we've built a fantastic knowledge pool here in the Valley. We'd love to be able to share all of this information across each other so we can all benefit from each other's information, knowledge that we've garnered over the years. If you have questions, we'll try and answer your questions as best as we can. If we can't, we'll try and defer you to somebody who can answer those questions. If you don't agree with something we say, if you want to challenge it, please feel free to. I've known to have made mistakes before. I'm sure I'm going to make more mistakes in the future. So welcome criticism, welcome contrarian points of view. Quick recap, last week we did a show about how a deal gets done. And basically what we did was we invited Ajay Chopra from Trinity Ventures to come out and tell us about how the process works internally. And what we did in there was basically we put the venture capital fund in a glass box. And we as the entrepreneurs, were looking in, seeing how their process works internally. And there were some very interesting takeaways that happened on that show. And I want to sort of spend some time talking about what those takeaways were, and then I also want to spend some time answering some questions because we had a lot of calls, and I do apologize to the callers that we were not able to get to all the calls that we had. But if you're listening and if you have more questions, this is your opportunity to call in and ask more questions about how a deal gets done. So one of the things we found from his experiences, now a quick snapshot, Ajay is somebody who's actually been through the entire life cycle of a startup. He started the company, took it through three rounds of funding, took the company public on NASDAQ. He was the CEO for initially, and then he was the chairman. So he was sort of the go-to guy company for a good 20 years or whatever the life of the company was. In this period, they acquired 20-odd companies. So he's been the entrepreneur. He's acquired companies. He's taken the company public. He's raised money. And surprise, surprise, he's now a VC. So he showed us how this process works. And one of the interesting takeaways was he said they get approached by about 3,000 odd business plans that they look at. This is not counting the ones that come unsolicited. And what they also said was they do not look at plans that come unsolicited. So the fundamental way to get to him or somebody in his fund was you have to know somebody, and to use his words, he called these connectors. So you have to go to somebody who knows what these people are connected to, and then sort of they will look at what you're doing, and if it meets mustard, they'll sort of take it on to the next level and introduce you to their fund, and then these guys will do their own process where they will do their own due diligence and evaluate a deal. So without spending too much more time on that process at this point in time, I want to start focusing on how the deal actually gets done, and we'll talk a little bit more about it as we go along. But we've got a call coming in actually that's been on hold for a few minutes. I'm going to grab that call real quick. Sapne Salamat, you're live on air.
Hi, this is Amit.
Sapne Salamat, Amit.
I have a real quick question and also an announcement. I just launched a product yesterday.
So, Amit, hang on a second here. Are you a frequent caller? Are you listener, a frequent listener to the show?
Yes, I do.
You do? Okay. Then the protocol for the show is you always open with Sapne Salamat, my friend.
Oh, okay. I forget. I mean, I didn't sleep for the last 3 days. I had to launch the product.
Okay, good.
A lot of things are in. Okay, Sapne Salamat.
Sapne Salamat, my friend. So you want to plug your company, and
yes.
I will let you plug your company. Go ahead and tell us what your product is. Okay, but make it quick.
I'm giving away 100 free accounts. It's a online project management tool, and I'm giving away 100 free premium accounts, the first come, first serve, to companies only, but also individuals can register. It's a free account. The name of the team, product is called TeamUp, and you might want to go to a website called ourprojectteam.com. Again, ourprojectteam.com, that's the name of the site. If you are familiar with Basecamp, this is very close to Basecamp, but much elegant than Basecamp.
Okay, Amit.
And it's a touchscreen. Basically, you can track your project from anywhere, anytime, using touchscreen, iPhone, and iPad, and also you can do a lot of stuff.
All right, Amit, we got it. The URL one more time.
Ourprojectteam.com.
Ourprojectteam.com. Good luck with that. Sapne Salamat, you're live on air.
Sapne Salamat, Rohit. How are you?
I'm doing very well.
That's great. This is Rajan Burma from DIIT Solutions. How are you?
Very well, Rajan. Do you have a question for us?
I certainly do. Based on your show, which was fantastic last week, I wanted to ask, typically once funded, how involved does a company, a VC company, get? Do they become a financial advisory partner, or will they channel you on a path that they want you to take? If I have one more question after that, is who are the VCs that are looking in the valley for people to fund in the mobile space?
Oh, wow. Okay. I'll take the first question first because it's the easier question depending upon how you look upon it.
Okay.
So I think the valley is, oh gosh, I'm going to make a guess. We've got maybe 300 venture funds in the valley. I could be off, but it's like an ungodly number. And
right.
There's a very, very high number of these venture funds that are actually investing in mobile because everybody sort of recognizes mobile as the next frontier.
Right.
Again, I would unfortunately would not be in a position to tell you exactly how many of these guys are doing it. So there are lists of venture funds out there that you can get to. And when you get to these lists of venture funds, a lot of these lists will also tell you what sectors they're particularly investing in. So if you can grab one of those lists, you can actually go down the list and see which are the funds that are interested in investing in mobile and follow it up from that perspective. So coming back to your first question in terms of how involved do they get? They get very, very involved with your business. Typically, they will take on at least one board seat depending upon how big the round is. They may even take on more than one board seat. And when they take on the board seat, they get involved with the company, will roll up their sleeves, and they'll see exactly what you're doing, why you're doing, how you're doing, and they'll give you direction, guidance, and try to channel you in the way that they believe is going to be maximizing returns for them. 99% or some significant percentage of the time, given the fact that they're going to be a large shareholder in the company, their interest will align very well with that of the company. Unfortunately, the vision may not always align with that of the entrepreneurial or the management team. And that's when conflicts or situations may arise where people have difference of opinions and different perspective on how to move things along. But they will get involved with the venture, and they will give you guidance, and they will open doors. They will give you access to their Rolodex, and they will make introductions. The important thing to make sure is that your vision and their vision maps up in the near term and in the long term. Because if it maps up in the near term but doesn't map up in the long term, that's when farther down the road, you might be looking to build a $1 billion company, they might be looking to build a $100 million company, or vice versa. So when somebody comes along with a checkbook to acquire the company, they might say, okay, this is good. We got enough ROI, let's get out. Or it might be that you might say that this is good and I want to get out. And the VC say like, no, wait a minute. I want to build a $1 billion company here. How can you get out at this point?
Sure.
So those kinds of things will cause problem at a later stage. So those are some of the things you have to look out for.
Thank you very much. And your show is a fantastic show, by the way. It's great information.
Thank you. Appreciate it. And keep calling.
All right. Take care.
Sapna Salamat. Sapna Salamat, you're live on air.
Hi. I have a question. First of all, Sapna Salamat.
Thank you, sir. What is your name?
My name is Baljeet.
Yes, Baljeet. Go ahead.
What is the minimum percentage that VC would charge? Because when we went to about 15 VCs, out of those 15, we narrowed down to about three, and they all wanted 49%.
How much?
49% of two board seats.
Yeah. I have not run into the value of this 49-51% with the VCs in the Valley, even though a lot of entrepreneurs seem to think that it's all about control. What I have seen typically in a seed round from I shouldn't even say seed round, in a first round from VCs, and I'll talk about it from both perspectives. Ajay, who came on the show last week, said 30% to 50% is what their take is on the first round typically. Obviously, there's some variation here and there. And I think depending upon how the market's doing, that number can change. In the heydays, it used to be 20, I'd say more like a third of the companies, how I've always viewed it as a rule of thumb, that you lose a third of the company. What also happens is they'll create an option pool at this point in time, which is for your employees. And that option pool ends up taking away a percentage of the ownership for you from the entrepreneur, if you will.
Okay. So the first round, we actually raised about $2 million.
Okay.
Second round, we're looking for about $15
million. Okay.
And we're ready to go into production. And we've also talked to... we've talked to the state economic advisor to the governor, Joel Ayala.
Uh-huh.
They want to keep the manufacturing here.
Uh-huh.
But we've decided to go to Colorado. But then the VCs came back and they said, you know what, we'll take one board seat and 35%. I'm a little bit concerned about 35% and the one board seat.
Well, the board seat is sort of a given, Daljeet. Because they're putting money in, especially if we're talking about $15 million, that's a lot of money. I think one of the things that VCs always talk about is like taking good money or bad money, and they always talk about what kind of strategic value they bring. Different people have different opinions, and same people might have different opinions at different points in time as well. So I fundamentally believe the color of money is green. That's the first and foremost thing you want to look at. Second thing you want to look upon is tying in of the strategic vision with that of yours. And then thirdly, it comes down to the valuation piece. So a lot of people will try to say valuation is irrelevant or unimportant. I am in a minority when I have that opinion to say where I do think that valuation does make a difference. Also, the VCs will typically be the most expensive kind of money from a percentage standpoint. If you go to strategic partners like corporate partners, that's going to be a lot cheaper because they're more interested in getting into the deal and they're not that valuation sensitive, and their bigger interest is typically getting you to align up with their business, which is going to grow their business at the end of the day, or perhaps if you're successful, to acquire you at some point in time. So,
I'll go ahead. Sell the company and that's it. But we actually have a lot of private investors too, but they're out of China though. Up from here.
Yeah. So I have a couple of questions for you because you've brought up some very interesting things. You mentioned you've already raised $2 million. When you raised your $2 million, did you not bring on any outside board of director for the money, representing that money?
No, because it was actually friends and family that invested.
Even with friends and family, so who's on the board of your company? Share what you can without compromising the confidentiality.
There's actually three of us.
Okay.
We have a CEO, chairman, and myself.
And all three of you are operational guys, and all three of you are principals?
Yes, we are.
I think it's a very rare story that I'm hearing where you've actually brought in $2 million and there's nobody representing those $2 million on the board. You probably got a fantastic valuation as well on that.
Yeah, like I said, it was friends and family. We all my friends and relatives and my other two partners, their friends and relatives.
Okay.
Raised about $1 million.
Okay. Now that you're talking to VCs, presumably you do have outside advisors that are working with your company?
Nope. We don't.
I would highly encourage you to go get outside advisors, because okay. These are the guys that are going to give you validation in terms of what you're doing from an unbiased perspective. And these are the guys that are actually... So the three of you are basically working on an island building whatever you're building. And these are the guys, I'm going to use the same word connector, but they are the guys who are going to connect to your island to the rest of the world.
Okay.
And do you already have term sheets from VCs for this 15 million, or you just had verbal conversations?
No, we actually have something in writing.
As in a term sheet?
Yeah.
You should definitely find advisors very, very quickly. And if you have a term sheet, I hope that you already have legal representation for the company as well.
We do have a legal representation.
And is your counsel not able to advise you, or you're just looking for outside validation, which is the reason for this call?
We're looking for outside validation, really, to be honest with you.
Perfect. Makes perfect sense, which is exactly why I'm telling you to go find an advisor, somebody who's been there, who's done that, who understands the space. And I personally always favor bringing in advisors who've been entrepreneurs themselves, hands-on operational guys, so they will understand the pains that you go through and will relate to stuff. Because somebody who's been a hired gun and has been a CEO from one company to the other, or a president or a VP marketing or what have you, does not necessarily relate to the pain of saying, hey, I have to meet payroll in 30 days. I've got 12 employees that I have to pay a check to. And how do I do that? Or the fact that, you know, you yourself have not received a paycheck, because even though your employees are, and it's like, how do you relate to that? I think it's very important to bring in an advisor who is an operational guy and be a fellow entrepreneur.
Okay. Well, I want to thank you for the advice, and I will actually discuss that with my partners.
Absolutely. No, I appreciate your call. I have one question more for you before I let you go. Is there an interesting VC interaction that you've had that you'd like to share with my listeners?
Actually, not at this moment.
Okay. How many folks did you have to pitch to get a term sheet for 15 million?
Actually, two.
Two. Fantastic. Yeah. You're on to something. Send us an email on radio@ruhit.com, and we'd be happy to talk more offline.
All right. Wonderful.
Great. Thank you for your call, Daljeet. All right. So that was a fantastic call. I certainly appreciate that, Daljeet. We're going to take a quick break, and we're going to continue talking about how a venture deal gets done. In the meantime, the phone number to the studio is going to be 408-912-5565. We'll be right back.
Are you behind on or having difficulty making your mortgage payments? If you or anyone you know is facing foreclosure and looking for answers, please contact us right away for a free consultation. Contact Sean Nasir, 209-603-3737, or go to www.georealtyusa.com. That's georealtyusa.com. California Department of Real Estate, license number 01475435.
Vinu Prashar, CPA for professionals and small business owners. Vinu Prashar has more than 20 years of experience in taxes, finance, and accounting for individuals and for businesses. Work with the best round the year for major life events, tax planning, and tax filing. Expect excellent service, quality, trust, and integrity, all at a good value. You can reach Vinu at 650-722-2021 or on the web at www.prasharcpa.com.
Vinu Prashar, CPA, is an accounting and tax professional and a member of AICPA and CalCPA.
Vinu Prashar, CPA for professionals and small business owners.
If you'd like to reach a large audience of engineers, technical people, marketing people, biz dev folks, PR people, this is a show to advertise on. You can reach us at 408-469-4192 or on radio@ruhit.com. Do you ever copy-paste parts of a web page and paste them into email to share with somebody else? Wouldn't it be easier if you could just highlight it so that they could keep the context and the credibility intact? Well, you can. Use Ruhit.com. Ruhit.com is a no-sign-up, no-download free service that allows you to highlight any web page. ROOHIT.com.
And now back to our show, where our host is Rohit Chandra, a serial entrepreneur who himself has raised millions of dollars in equity financing, started several companies in the Silicon Valley, and is always looking for good people and good ideas. If you have a good idea, then you are committed to, please do get in touch with him at radio@ruhit.com.
Jeet jaao
Sapne Salamat, dosto. Welcome back. You are listening to Sapne Salamat with Rohit Chandra. We are talking today about how venture deals get done.
And this is Sanjay here. I'm glad to be on the show as well. One of the things that stood out for me in the last week's show, where we had Ajay online, and he was talking about how to go approach the VCs and the way they go through the process of selecting and determining which ones they're going to invest in. It's like you started off saying that they get about 3,000 entries or exit summaries a year, and out of that, they pick about 8 of them. Now, you talked about the connector, the role of connector in facilitating this link up with the VCs itself. And one question I was going to ask to you, Rohit, is who are they? What's their role? What kind of expectation does the connector have in making this kind of relation or introducing them to the VCs itself?
Oh, very good question. So connectors are, again, I think just like I was telling Daljeet, so this is like a perfect question follow on to that is connectors are basically folks who've been there, who've done that before, and whom the VCs have known for a period of time, typically professionally. And a lot of these folks will make these introductions because that's how the ecosystem works. But also more often than not, that if and when a deal gets consummated, if a transaction actually comes out of it, then these people will get some kind of warrant coverage or some kind of options where they get to participate in the upside of the company for having connected these dots and help the company actually get funding. Because getting funding is a huge deal. I mean, look at it. We talked about whittling it down to 8 from 3,000. And we haven't even talked about the multiples of the 3,000 that actually go soliciting and don't even get looked at. So the 3,000 are the plans that they actually look at.
Yeah, that's. I mean, that seems definitely the odds are heavily favored against the entrepreneur. So how do I go find and connect her if I'm starting off new and I don't have those networks built up?
Well, I think that's one of the things that we are trying to do with the show is if you're looking for help, call in. We'll definitely like to help folks out. I think when I started out my entrepreneurial journey, I didn't know any of these people either. And it's you sort of start go knocking on doors and say, I need help. And you will run into people that do that and with people that will actually help you go on to the next level. So most importantly, as the entrepreneur, you have to start knocking on doors. And this is one of the doors. You can obviously find more information on our website, which is rohit.com/radio. That's rohit.com/radio. And again, folks can also email us on radio@rohit.com.
Well, I think that was good, Roy. Thank you. The other question that came up in my mind when I was listening to Ajay last week was the fact that, you know, he mentioned there are 3,000 exec summaries that come in. Obviously, he's trying to look for the ones that match his investment pattern or his interests.
Correct.
How do I actually try to know who are the VCs I need to target and kind of create that target list that I go and pitch my ideas to?
Yeah, so I think that takes a little bit of work. I wouldn't say a fair amount of work, but just a little bit of work where basically I think like a caller earlier was talking about mobile. So you can look at a list and you can see what sectors folks are interested in. You can see what kinds of investments they make. And that's sort of all on these lists that you can find. From that point on, you can actually start going to the individual VC's websites and see what kinds of deals they've done, what kind of deals they're looking to do, what is their typical investment size, and pick up from there and then say, okay, now that I found this, one of the things that I found really important in my professional career, and I think which Ajay also validated to a large extent, was it makes a huge difference as to the person in the fund that you pitch to. And not only from the perspective that is he an analyst or a principal or a partner, obviously, you want to pitch to a partner because he's the one who has clout. But more interestingly, also from the guy who's interested in that particular sector. So you might have a fantastic revolutionary idea on, I don't know, how the next big thing in production. But if you go and pitch to a VC who's doing mobile and somebody else in the partnership is the guy that is into the production, they may not get it and they might just say, too far-fetched, won't work. So you actually have to go and find the sector-specific guy and try and pitch to him.
And you mentioned a couple of times, like find the guy, find the list and so on. Is there resources out there or groups out there where I can actually start getting that kind of information?
There are resources and there are lists out there. It's escaping me right now. I think there's an organization called the U.S. Venture Capital Association. And I think USVCA is what it's called. And USVC, if you go to their website, will have a list of all the venture capitalists out there, and they'll also have some lists over there. And it's one of those things, once you start doing a search on the web for it, you'll find all kinds of information. You just have to start working on it and massaging it and figuring it out. There's all kinds of startups that are in the business of helping other startups, so you might run into some of those that may even provide some of this information for a small fee.
Okay. And stepping back a little bit and trying to differentiate between the VC money and the angel money, like we had a caller who said he raised $2 million by working through friends and family. So if I don't have friends and family who have that kind of money, how do I go about finding the angels that I would like to get investment to my company?
Much the same way like I talked about finding these connectors. So the whole idea is you want to get into the ecosystem of the startups, if you will. And you're going to go and talk to somebody that you know of that has done a startup. So which is you'll reach out to other folks. Obviously, this show is one of those forums. We would reach out and say, you know, I'm looking for this. Can you connect me with somebody or who can you connect me with? And these people will start connecting. Now, these connectors are, when I'm saying these are typically people who've been there, who've done that, which means they have made money along the way typically. Not necessarily, but typically. And if they made some money along the way, if they like your idea enough, some of them might invest, some of them may not invest. But what they will do is they'll introduce you to other folks that also have money. And investing, especially from the angel perspective, is a very herd mentality. I found it's really hard to get the first check for somebody to say, you know what, I'm going to invest. But the moment you start getting the first, or get the first check, the second check, the third check, the fourth check, it's like everybody wants to know who else is investing. And I completely understand. Having been on the entrepreneurial side, I've seen like, come on people, why can't you make up your own mind? And then having been the angel investor myself, I've actually not even looked at the company pitch and say, who's investing? Okay, A, B, C are investing, fine, here's a check. And I've written checks myself the same way. So it's just the nature of the beast, if you will.
Okay, and so let's say we have the list prepared. I know who the VCs I'm going to target, the angels I'm going to target. Is there any difference in the way I approach and prepare for these two class of investors?
Yes, there are some differences, very subtle differences, if you will. So the angels are very gut-driven. They don't have as much of a thorough due diligence process because the angel sort of guy who's going to look at you, look at the idea, do his internal validation and say, yeah, makes sense to me. And guess what? Five of my friends are investing or have, like I said, this herd mentality. These other five guys have also seen value in it. I'm willing to roll the die and see what happens. The VC, on the other hand, now here's the other interesting statistic that I know a lot of people do know, but I would still like to throw out there. So we talked about this 300 plans that got whittled down to about 8 or so that got in funding. VC's typical success rate is 1 in 10. They know that. Going in, they know that. So typically, 7 out of the 10 are going to go bust. One is going to go break even. One might make money. And there's one that they're hoping is going to recover all the money they've spent on all the others. So it's a really, really, the odds are very horribly stacked against you. And so what the VC is going to do, he's going to do an entire due diligence process where he's going to look at your industry, he's going to look at your market, he's going to look at your customers, he's going to look at you, he's going to look at your team, he's going to look at your product, he's going to look at your technology, and they will kick the tires every which way that they can. They will try to poke all the holes that they can because what they're trying to do is prove to themselves that this is the one that's actually going to work. And that's what they're going to do for all 10 of the ones that they're actually going to fund. And despite having done all of that, they don't have a very good success rate.
Right. And when you're saying that, the thought that keep coming to my mind was that you have the VCs that kind of go through this diligence process, kind of kick the tire, like you put it. But then you have the angels, friends and family that might not have that kind of background or kind of go with the gut feeling. What are some of the things, the normal pitfalls do you think of going with angels, especially with friends and family, that could get you into a position where you kind of lose out and you no longer have friends and family because you goofed up?
I don't think, so first of all, I think this whole friends and family is a very misnomer and it's a very loosely used word and it's a very inappropriate word because most entrepreneurs when they're starting out don't have friends and family that can write them $2 million checks. And but having said that, I'm also guilty of saying friends and family myself, but folks, it's a misnomer. It's really finding casual people, acquaintances, or friends of friends, or friends of acquaintances, or acquaintances of acquaintances that have money to expendable money or discretionary money where they can invest. Coming back to your question again, in terms of what are the differences and how they look at this whole thing. So, no, you wouldn't lose out, but here's one thing. If the going gets tough, which it often does, The VC has got very deep pockets, which means if you run out of money and nobody else is willing to write you a check, the VC has deep pockets. And if he still has conviction, having invested in you 12 months ago or 18 months ago, he will help you out for your next round, or will bridge you, or will give you an extra round. Maybe at a valuation that's not, that you may not like very much, but guess what? It's better than having to shut the company down. The problem is, if you only have angel money, there's only so much money these guys have. And it says, you know, once I've written you my $25,000 check or my $100,000 check, I just want a return on it. So come 12 or 18 months, if you cannot raise more money, it's hard to get follow-on money. These guys are not going to throw in more money into the same venture. And they're sort of struggling with, am I throwing good money after bad money, or am I throwing bad money after bad money, or am I throwing, you know, you just don't know. So that gets to being really, really hard. And at that point, you're like, now what do I do? You don't have money. You already built a business. You've got a burn rate. You've got expenses. How do I meet my expenses?
All right. Thanks for that explanation, Rohit. And kind of switching gears a little bit, one of the things that also stood out during the discussion last week was how do you prepare for the VC meeting? And Ajay mentioned about going there with a slide deck, 15, 20 slides to talk about the idea and the business case that you have. What else do you think, as an entrepreneur, I need to take when I go for the VC meetings?
Okay. So before I answer the question, I want to give the phone number out to the studios one more time. 408-912-KLOK. That's 408-912-5565. We are talking about how venture deals get done. So coming back to your question again, Sanjay, was what do you take with you? You take a PowerPoint presentation with you as a first-time entrepreneur, typically. You go in and you say, this is a pitch. And I think, as Ajay mentioned, it's 15 to 20 slides. And most VCs will give you an hour-long meeting. And the expectation is that you talk for about 40 minutes and keep 20 minutes for Q&A. More often than not, what I find is the Q&A happens as the pitch is going on. So nobody waits for the end. So you really should prepare your pitch for about that 40 minutes and assume there's going to be a lot of questions. And when people are saying 40 minutes, I think they're being a little bit kind and generous. You should really try to get your stuff done in 20, 25 minutes. This is, again, one person's opinion. You should really be able to get your stuff done in like literally 20 minutes or so. Because when you're out there talking and somebody's listening, there's interruptions, there's questions, there's things you want to emphasize, there's things you want to de-emphasize. And all of that takes time. And I think one of the other things I also mentioned in the previous show is you have an hour-long meeting, but guess what? The guy comes in 5 minutes late because he just got out of the previous meeting. And that 5 minutes, that comes out of your time. Once the guy comes in, you still have to have pleasantries, you know, like, hi, how are you doing? You know, it's a nice day. It's sunny today. How is so-and-so doing? How did we get connected? And those pleasantries are just part of the human process. So once you get through with all of that, if you have not budgeted your time well, you run out of time. And when you run out of time, it's a really bad sign because you're not able to communicate everything that you really wanted to communicate. And typically, the stuff that you want to communicate, there's a reason why you want to communicate it, because you think it's going to sell something. Remember, the guy is going to whittle down. So as we talked about, he's looking to do one. The average is 1.25 deals for a partner in a venture fund every year, which is basically one deal a year.
Right.
And this is your chance to convince him that this is the one deal that he wants to do in the entire year and in the rest of the year coming up. So you have to convince him that this is the best deal he's looked at. And that's a very, very hard sell.
Right. So staying on that, do you would I have a distinct advantage compared to others if I take a working prototype or show something that's real as part of this 1 hour session?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Without a question. I think you've mitigated some element of risk, because when you're going in with this, just a PowerPoint presentation, it's just an idea that you're throwing out there. If you have a product demonstration, now they say, wait a minute, this guy knows what he's talking about and he's actually built something. Which means you've already invested your own time and effort to build it. So you've mitigated some risk for the guy. He says, okay, he's not some guy who wants to take my money, get a paycheck out of my money and work on my money. So you've actually proven to him that you've put your neck on the line and you have your own convictions about this particular idea, if you will.
Okay. And what do you think about the team that has to go meet the VC? Is it just the founder or a bunch of engineering guys and so on?
Okay. Let us take a break. I want to come back and we're going to keep talking about that. So we'll be right back after this break.
Are you behind on or having difficulty making your mortgage payments? If you or anyone you know is facing foreclosure and looking for answers, please contact us right away for a free consultation. Contact Sean Nasir, 209-603-3737, or go to www.georealtyusa.com. That's GEO Realty USA.com. California Department of Real Estate, license number 01475435.
Vinu Prashar, CPA for professionals and small business owners. Vinu Prashar has more than 20 years of experience in taxes, finance, and accounting for individuals and for businesses. Work with the best round the year for major life events, tax planning, and tax filing. Expect excellent service, quality, trust, and integrity, all at a good value. You can reach Vinu at 650-722-2021 or on the web at www.prasharcpa.com.
Vinu Prashar, CPA, is an accounting and tax professional and a member of AICPA and CalCPA.
Vinu Prashar, CPA for professionals and small business owners.
Search for information on the web. Do you ever use Yahoo or Google or any other search engine? Well, guess what? Every time you search, there's only parts of certain pages that are of interest to you. Use Rohit.com to highlight the parts that are of interest to you, and everything that you highlight is automatically saved and collected for you. See all of your web research consolidated in one place. Rohit.com is a no sign up, no joining, free, no download service. If you'd like to reach a large audience of engineers, technical people, marketing people, biz dev folks, PR people, this is the show to advertise on. You can reach us at 408-469-4192 or on radio@rohit.com.
Now back to our show, where our host is Rohit Chandra, a serial entrepreneur who himself has raised millions of dollars in equity financing, started several companies in Silicon Valley, and a prolific inventor.
Sapna Salamat, dosto, welcome back. You are listening to Sapna Salamat with Rohit Chandra. We are talking today about how venture deals get done. If you have questions, phone number to studios is 408-912-5565. So questions around how venture deals get done. Just before the break, we were talking about team.
Exactly. The question I was asking you, Rohit, was when you go to a VC meeting, what should your team comprise of? Is it just the CEO or the founder, or does he have to take a bunch of other people involved in the actual idea itself?
Well, I've sort of seen it done every which way. And I'll tell you what I think is one way of doing it. It may not necessarily be the best way of doing it. I believe that's how I like to do it. So to answer your question, I've seen people show up there with four or five people saying, this is me, the CEO, this is my VP marketing, this is my VP engineering, this is my VP biz dev, and this is what we are going to talk about. And if they have a CFO, they'll take the CFO as well, and the CEO makes a pitch, everybody sits around and waits and answers questions. I've seen people where the one guy makes the pitch and then they switch it off and the second guy takes over and they interleave the pitching process. The way I think it needs to be done, and I think I suspect a large number of VCs will like to see it done, is have the principals come in. The principals meaning probably two founders for the first meeting. Subsequently, you can do the rest of the team. So if there's two founders, have the main two guys come in and talk about what it is that they're doing so they can see the interpersonal chemistry between these two guys as well. I've also been to VC meetings where angel investors from previous rounds will come and say that, hey, we're going to go with you and we're going to go to the VC meeting. And that's a perfectly okay and acceptable way. So somebody who says, you know, I've actually put my money, I believe in this idea, I've written a check. And that does help VCs because they say, here's a guy who had an idea who's raising money, and he's raised money from somebody in the past. And guess what? The person whom he's raised money from the past likes it enough that he's willing to take his time and effort and energy out and come and talk about what they're doing, where the process is, and what's happening with that. So that's another way of doing it. Again, remember, all of this I'm answering from the perspective that this is perhaps your first round of funding. If there's a subsequent round of funding, the rules change slightly because then the CFO comes into play, then he will help out with this process. Obviously, the CEO is the guy whose job is to be the money guy and raise the money. So that's one way of doing it. You can also take other investors, even take other board members with you to meetings. So there's a whole bunch of different ways that it can be done. It depends on how you want to slice it. I'll come back and talk a little bit more about this. I've got this one call on hold. We're going to grab this real quick. Sapna Salamat, you're live on air.
Hi, Rohit. How are you?
I'm very well. Sapna Salamat, caller.
Thank you. Same to you. I have a quick question for you. First, I wanted to say that it's a really good show, very informative, some really good points. My question to you is, when you say go to a venture capitalist, is what size projects are you talking about? And would you recommend for a project, say, for example, with $400,000, as an investment, which is like a small project, would you recommend somebody looking into venture capitalists or banks instead for a first time restaurant setup?
Okay. What is your name on the caller?
My name is Arif.
Arif, so first of all, thanks for your kind words. I think the way I always think of these, I don't think of these as projects. I think of these as companies, and I know it's just words, but I wanted to point out that differentiation for the rest of my listeners. So when we're talking about $400,000, typical VCs are not looking for something which is less than a few million dollars, because that's what makes them venture capitalists. Now, having said that, in the recent past, especially in the last 6 months, 12 months, there's been a lot of controversy or hoo-la-la about the fact that venture capital, as we know it, is going away, because companies are not that capital intensive, and you can do companies with much lot less money. So folks are talking about smaller and smaller VC funds and smaller dollar investments. What has also happened in the last, I'm going to say, 5 years, is some, if not a lot of the large venture funds are also making seed stage investments, where they will put in $250,000, $500,000 towards a seed stage and say, you know, let's see how this plays out. And if it actually starts to playing out well, then they will come in and make a typical investment. Come back and try to answer your question a little bit more specifically, you're talking about an investment into a restaurant business. As I know it, and 99.9% of the VCs that I know would not be interested in investing in a restaurant business, especially with a first-time entrepreneur. Banks, again, provide debt, and whatever banks provide is tied to collateral. So you have to convince them that if they're going to give you $400,000, no matter what, they will be able to recover that $400,000. So it's
so
not.
What if I don't own property, and if I don't own a house, then and I want to go to a bank and say that, hey, this is the product, but it's not a run of the mill product. It's a very, very unique product, which is way different from anything else that's out in the market. Would you be interested in investing? You think my better bet would be to go to a bank or to a VC?
The harsh truth is, I don't think either of those are going to be very welcoming.
Except for you.
No, I don't know about me. So banks, to my knowledge, will completely not be interested, because they are not in the business of taking on any element of risk whatsoever. They just want an assured return. And this is definitely not. So VCs are in the business of looking for a return, but they know it's not assured. But VCs typically will not invest in these startup kinds of things. So what you need to do is find somebody more like an angel who says, hey, I like what you're doing and I like this idea. And guess what? For a piece of the pie, I'll give you some money and I'm willing to take on that risk.
Okay, so like more on a personal basis than...
Exactly. What I was earlier calling the friends and family. Which I also said. So if you don't have those kinds of friends and family, make some.
So are you putting together a database of these people so that people can just go and Rohit it and then look it up?
Well, we're not really putting together a database of it, but thank you for that. I loved how you used the Rohit. That's exactly how we envision the world there. So no, I'm not putting together a database. I do have my personal Rolodex that I will tap into from time to time to introduce folks to. And remember, when you're making these introductions to people, it sort of works in both ways, because folks that are looking to invest this money are also looking for these kinds of deals. Now, they may not be actively looking for a deal flow. So it is to their benefit as well. It's not that anybody's doing anybody any favors. At the end of the day, it's a business decision, right?
Okay, I will later today email you something about this project, and maybe you know you can take a look at it and see if you're interested. And I'm not trying to make a pitch out here online, but then just putting the word out there.
No, please be happy to. I'd be happy to take a look at it. And I think I should also, in all honesty, tell you that I am not an angel investor. I'm definitely not an active angel investor for sure. So,
sure, yeah, understand.
So anyways, but I'd be happy to connect you with folks if I can think of anybody that you might have synergies with or that might be interested in the space that you're looking at.
Sure. Thank you so much, Roy.
Welcome. Thanks for your call. Great. So phone number to studios is 408-912-5565. That's 408-912-5565. We are talking about how deals get done.
Yeah, and Rohit, back to the question we were asking was, who are the people that you need to take for the VC meeting itself? And you kind of limited the list down to maybe the founders, the principals, to have an effective meeting. As a follow-on to that, I was kind of wondering, I'm sure there would be questions that are left on the table that the founders or the people attending the meeting will not be able to answer in that particular VC meeting. Is it all right to say, hey, listen, I'm going to take a rain check on this. I'm going to go clarify, find, dig some more information and get back to you. Will the VCs accept that kind of reasoning?
Yes, I think that comes down to the level of interest in your venture that they have. So they might be, it's always a scale, right? If they're not interested, they're just going to tell you, please don't even bother. Right, and you'll see it. They'll be very disinterested. You'll see it. They'll check out in the middle of the meeting, and you know, you'll see them mentally check out. They'll start fiddling with their phone, or they'll start fiddling with their laptop. It just happens, and it's rude, but it happens, and there's little you can do about it. There are folks that'll be very interested, but they'll never show you that they're very interested. They'll just show you that they're interested or possibly interested.